Let's look at the 91st Psalm. There's a great change from Psalm 90 to Psalm 91. Psalm 90 is rather depressing because it says so much about our weakness and our sin and the wrath of God, but it does end on a happy note. Psalm 91, the result of believing in the mercy of God and knowing Him as our Savior, is all happy. A very comforting psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now the word dwell means to settle down, be at home. Before you can ever be at home in the presence of God, you've got to come to Him through the Lord Jesus. You've got to put your trust in Him. You must know Him as your Heavenly Father before you can be at home in His presence. Most people think only of visiting God when they get into trouble, but a Christian knows that he can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place tells us of this nearness to Him that we have in the Lord Jesus. Those who do so will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, we don't always like the shadows. There is the valley of the shadow of death. But there are some plants that will only grow in the shade. And some of the Christian graces can only be known in our lives when we dwell in the shadows. It's the shadow of the Almighty, the one who is able to do anything. Just put your trust in Him. Just relax in His shadow, and you'll find that it isn't so bad after all. All is well if it's in the hands of the Almighty. He addresses or speaks of the Lord in verse 2 as my refuge and my fortress, my God. This is a personal matter. I've always known that God was God. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard about God, I heard about Christ, but I didn't know Him as my own until I received Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Is He yours? Have you trusted Him? That's what it means to have a refuge, one in whom you're trusting, a place where you're hiding. The ark for Noah and his family was a refuge. There were cities of refuge for the children of Israel. My refuge is the Lord Himself. Is He yours? Well, if He is, then you can say, in Him will I trust. And that means to trust Him about everything. You don't have to see if you trust. You don't have to understand if you trust. You can trust one who is your refuge and your fortress and your God. Why, surely you can trust Him. Now from verses 3 to 13, He tells us all about His wonderful deliverances. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Fowler is a man who catches birds. A snare is a trap that he uses to catch these birds. Satan is a great fowler. He's the one who tries to trap men and women, young people too. But the Lord will deliver you from this fowler. He'll deliver you out of the hand of Satan, if you put your trust in Him, and from the noisome pestilence, the stinking trouble that comes into the lives of people. That's the meaning of the word noisome. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Just as a bird trusts under the wing of the mother bird, chickens under the wings of the old hen, God wants you to just trust Him. He wants you to know that He'll protect you. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth, of course, is His Word. The Word of God will protect our minds and our hearts. We won't be troubled when we believe His Word. Thou shalt not be afraid. There's a verse that says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But I think there's a better one that says, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. And so He says here, they shall not be afraid for the terror by night. I don't know what this terror is. The Lord hasn't told us. This way it'll cover anything in your life. There are many things which are a terror to us, and especially in the night. Not only the actual night, but the distressful times in our lives when all seems dark. God promises that He will keep us and protect us and look after us. All kinds of circumstances here, terrors, enemies, war, evil. By the way, you'll have to let God decide what is evil and what is not. There are many things in our lives that really are not evil. We only think they are. And if we trust Him, and He sees fit to bring these things into our lives, then we know that they're not evil. They're good for us. Sickness is not always an evil. I've gotten a great deal of blessing from the fact that I've had over a half a century of migraine headaches. I wouldn't take anything for the experiences that I've learned in the presence of God in my own physical weakness and pain. When I read this psalm, I'm reminded of the 8th chapter of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then he goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nor any other creature. If he missed any of them, they're included in this one. Now when he tells us all of these things that may happen, things that may come to us during this, in this section that we're just studying now, verses 3 to 13, he assures us that whatever happens will be in the care and the protection of the Lord. Do you remember that when the devil came to the Lord Jesus to tempt him, that he misquoted verses 11 and 12 of the 91st Psalm? Well, the devil knows a great deal of Scripture, but you can depend on it, he'll always misquote it, and so do his servants. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. He didn't say the rest of that verse. It says, in all thy ways. He tried to get the devil tried to get the Lord Jesus to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple and trust God to deliver him. But that wouldn't have been in God's ways. He wouldn't have been going in the ways of God. He wouldn't have been pleasing to the Lord. You keep in the ways that God has for you, and you can depend upon it that He'll take care of you. He'll protect you. A man by the name of Harold St. John wrote about the 13th verse, Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He said this, The lion tells us about sudden crashing troubles. The adder is more like the hidden bitternesses that affect us and poison the spirit. But he says nobody ever saw a dragon. These are the things which might happen but never do. And more lives are shattered by dragons than by lions and adders. Have you got some dragon in your life, something that you're afraid of? You can't really describe it, but you have some sort of fear of the future? Well, the Lord will help you over these as well. But now, after the psalmist has meditated upon this and has praised the Lord for his delivering power, then the Lord answers the last three verses of this psalm. He says, because he, that is the one who has just been speaking of the Lord, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Do you love the Lord? Well, you say, I prefer not to talk about my love for him. I like to talk about his love for me. Well, now that sounds very nice, but you know, he does talk about your love for him. He says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And he says, we love him because he first loved us. Our love is dependent upon his, it's true, but it's nonetheless real. And if you really know the Lord Jesus, I can tell you, you do love him. If you don't love him, you don't know him. He is the most wonderful friend we've ever had. Yes, we do love him. Now the Lord says, because we love him, he will deliver us. Here is a deliverance which is predicated upon our nearness to himself and our trustfulness, our leaving things in his hands. Maybe a deliverance hasn't come for which you prayed just because you haven't fully trusted him. Then he promises to set him up on high. Of course, the Lord lifts us up on high daily, but one of these days he's going to lift us up bodily. We're going to be taken home to be with him. And in verse 15, he promises to answer our cries. Well, you say, that'd be wonderful. Then he'd take me out of all my troubles. No, the next part of the verse says, I will be with him in trouble. He doesn't promise to take all the troubles away. He promises to go with us through the troubles. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's how he delivers us sometimes. Sometimes he delivers us from troubles. Sometimes he delivers us through troubles. And then he promises that with long life, he will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't think any life could be long enough on this earth to really satisfy us, but I know a long life that will satisfy, eternal life. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the assurance of eternity with himself, and that'll satisfy. And he will show us his salvation. Salvation from the penalty of sin, daily salvation from the power of sin, and eventually, maybe much sooner than any of us think, deliverance from the very presence of sin. The Lord is coming. Brother and sister, lift up your head. He's going to show us his salvation. Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son, our Savior. We thank thee for all that he did in order to make us thine, to bring us into this blessing. We pray for those who have not yet trusted him that they might do so, and that thou would bless and help thy dear children. For we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen.